100,000 or so Medicare admissions, accounting for about 3 million Medicare days. My personal experience before Medicare was with two major rehabilitation hospitals, one in Chicago, one in Boston, where I was responsible for a 200-bed freestanding rehabilitation hospital. And what we're seeing is that length of stay in the hospital for Medicare beneficiaries is dropping precipitously. When I first started in rehabilitation, it was the mid-80s. I was at a tertiary medical center near downtown Chicago. And length of stay for a CVA patient coming in from the emergency room in the acute phase would be about 7 to 11 days, often followed by discharge to freestanding rehabilitation hospital for a 4 to 5, 6 week inpatient length of stay. Now we're talking about an average length of stay of 3 to 4 days for a CVA patient, with subsequent discharge most often to skilled nursing facility. So we've seen a reduction, over 90% reduction in the access of very ill and disabled Medicare beneficiaries to hospital-level rehabilitation. And this has resulted in a shift in the responsibility for providing post-acute rehabilitation to skilled nursing facilities, where formerly skilled nursing facilities were known exclusively as nursing homes with a focus on long-term, safe, comfortable, home-like residence for older people who are in decline. Now, in fact, the mission of skilled nursing facility is post-acute rehabilitation center, and more Medicare beneficiaries who were formerly served in rehabilitation units and rehabilitation hospitals are now going to receive their post-acute rehabilitation in skilled nursing facilities. So along with this change, the point of this paper is that quality measurements and the dissemination of quality information about skilled nursing facilities has not kept pace with the changing mission and expanding scope of service for skilled nursing facilities. The tools that are available now for most patients center on the quality indicators and quality measures that were mandated by CMS for collection by nursing homes. Are folks here familiar with the QIs and the QMs? They measure the typical kinds of concerns that public and regulators have about nursing homes. The acquisition of pressure ulcers, the incidence of falls, incidence or prevalence of decline in function, loss of weight, psychotropic medications without a psychiatric diagnosis. The concerns that consumers and regulators have of nursing homes that are not providing adequate care for long-term residents. That's what these QI and QMs focus on, and they were very important a contribution to the improvement of nursing home quality. And a lot of research, which is beyond the scope of this discussion, shows that as a result of the institution of these quality indicators and quality measures and a focus on quality in nursing homes has resulted in improvement across the board in the scores of skilled nursing facilities on these nursing home quality measures. But what our experience is that we have a patient now coming out of the hospital 3 days after a stroke, and their needs are not for a comfortable, long-term, safe, clean, odor-free residence. Of course it needs to be odor-free and clean, but that's not a good enough reason to select that post-acute center. What these patients need is a replacement for the hospital care that they were getting up until a few years ago. They need experts, results-oriented, multidisciplinary, targeted post-acute rehabilitation. And they need that because this is going to be their best shot at recovering enough to be able to go home and resume a meaningful lifestyle after rehabilitation. So these quality measures, which are routinely used by consumers, they're posted on websites, and they're routinely used by surveyors, government surveyors that inspect skilled nursing facilities, are focusing on issues that are not targeted at post-acute rehabilitation. But these are the most prevalent, most widely used measures. So what we wanted to do in this study was ask the simple question, to what extent are these measures, which focus primarily on omissions and deficits in providing the safe type of nursing home care that people have been concerned about, that focus on functional decline and the prevalence and or incidence of various health related concerns, to what extent are these measures useful to consumers or referrers in distinguishing among skilled nursing facilities from a rehabilitation perspective? Think of the typical patient. Could be a 78-year-old man with a 76-year-old spouse. Up until he had this stroke 3 days ago, his spouse, 76 years old, had been depending on him for support as her functional independence had been in decline. Now he's paralyzed following his CBA, and his 76-year-old wife, or perhaps, if they're lucky, a daughter or granddaughter or grandson, is now charged with making this decision. How are they going to make the decision? They walk into the office of a discharge planner at the hospital who hands them a list of skilled nursing facilities and says, your father is going to be discharged tomorrow. You need to make a selection. And the vast majority of selections are made based on some combination of proximity of the patient's home to the skilled nursing facility, some type of physical plant characteristics like the carpeting, how the wallpaper, the newness, the curb appeal of the physical plant, the view from the room that's being offered, whether or not there's a private room, birds in the lobby can be a key criterion in the selection. And why not if you're choosing a long-term residence? Why shouldn't you have birds in the lobby if you're going to be living at this place for an extended period of time? But if you're choosing a hospital, if you're choosing a replacement for a hospital where you're going to get the expert, multidisciplinary, focused, aggressive rehabilitation necessary to help you recover a meaningful lifestyle and go home, are these the criteria that you should be using to make that choice? Do people choose hospitals because it doesn't smell? Is that the reason why people go to a hospital? Or because they like the lobby or some characteristic such as that? So that was the reason for looking at these data, because we have 279 skilled nursing facilities across the country. So we looked at all of their QI and QM data, along with some rehabilitation data. Here's a description of the sample. We excluded patients from the sample who died or were discharged to hospitals and did not complete their rehabilitation programs. We simply correlated the QI and QM measures for all of these skilled nursing facilities together with some functional independence measure data, which are rehabilitation outcomes typically collected by inpatient rehab facilities. The standard of rehabilitation effectiveness measurement, which is mandated by CMS. That's the FIM motor scale, and we use residual change scores where we adjusted for admission levels of functioning as well as comorbid conditions and age. Again, here are the analyses, all the nursing home indicators that I mentioned, along with the three rehabilitation outcomes, FIM motor gain, the percentage of patients discharged to the community, and the extent to which patients discharged were actually prepared to manage their care at home. There were no significant correlations between the quality measures and the rehabilitation outcomes. None. Not a surprise, but we wanted to have something to go to bat with, because our position as providers of skilled nursing facility care has been that the measures that the government imposes on skilled nursing facility operators, while important for assessing nursing home quality of care deficits, are not useful at all for distinguishing between or among facilities from a rehabilitation perspective and helping facility operators focus on deficits in their ability to provide effective rehabilitation care. And perhaps equally important, if not more importantly, giving consumers and referrers objective data that they can use to choose among rehabilitation providers for this critical component of their care. We showed that the community discharge measure correlated in a bizarre way with the prevalence of physical restraints. There's no sense to that whatsoever, so we determined that that was an anomaly. But as we expected, it correlated negatively with the prevalence of falls, which is something that is certainly intuitively understandable. Prepared to manage care at home, which is a response of the patient and family to the question, now that you're being discharged, how prepared are you to manage your care at home? Would you say not at all, a little, quite a lot, or completely? This measure correlated negatively with the incidence of decline in range of motion, again, an intuitively understandable relationship, and FIM motor score, which is the functional independence level at discharge, correlated both with community discharge and prepared to manage care. So what this bottom bullet point shows is that there's a rehabilitation factor distinct from the nursing home quality factor. Conclusions. Hospital discharge planners. Do we have any? I speak in front of these audiences, hospital discharge planners audiences, every week. I've spoken to perhaps thousands of them in the last 3 or 4 years because I'm on a mission. As I said, we have over 100,000 of these post-acute Medicare beneficiary admissions a year, and the vast majority of them are choosing us for the wrong reasons. They're choosing us because we're a very big presence in the market. They're not choosing us because, by the way, they're also going to get the best shot at recovery, because we have evidence to show that their rehabilitation gains are likely to be quite strong, and that we have a focus on preparing patients for managing care at home. They're not choosing us for that reason. They're choosing us because we have birds in the lobby, or they're choosing us because the patient's neighbor's sister-in-law's bridge partner went to our facility 7 months ago and liked the food or had a nice interaction with a nurse's aide or something like that. And I'm glad that they like the food. And I'm glad that our facilities are clean and presentable and are safe. But it's not enough. What I'm urging discharge planners to do, and what our publication in the Archives of Physical Medicine is lobbying for, as this paper presentation is that hospital discharge planners, as well as regulatory agencies, should be advising patients and families that choosing a post-acute SNF based on how they would select a nursing home is the wrong way to go. That they should approach this decision not as if they were choosing a nursing home, but as if they were choosing a hospital. I see no hospitals flying flags outside like Memorial Hospital, : you're not likely to be too much worse off here as when you came. No hospitals are bragging about that. Why should skilled nursing facilities that are presenting themselves as rehabilitation providers, why should that be the standard? As long as the patients are not worse as a result of being in your center, that's okay. Why should that be an adequate standard? They need, on the contrary, These patients and families that are leaving the hospital following a stroke or a disabling injury or procedure or illness, they need to identify qualified, experienced, resource-rich rehabilitation teams who are really going to give them their best shot at recovering. This Medicare benefit is really the best shot of Medicare beneficiaries to recover enough to be able to go home and have a resumption of a meaningful lifestyle. And the consumers making these decisions don't understand the stakes involved. They really don't understand that if they choose the place that's closest or that has the private room or has the birds in the lobby, they may be getting along with that a rehabilitation team, well-meaning, licensed people, but don't have a great deal of experience treating stroke. They just don't have a great deal of experience treating stroke. And while they will try their best, they may run out of ideas after 20 days, and the patient will plateau. And they may think, therefore, that they are at risk for Medicare denial and will suggest to the 76-year-old spouse, your husband has plateaued and he no longer qualifies for Medicare benefits. And so we are recommending that his coverage ends as of 2 days from now. Are they going to argue? Is the 76-year-old spouse going to present some type of cogent argument as to why other or how other therapies might be more effective? No. That's the end of the story. Patient is discharged, can't go home with the spouse. Where are they going? Long-term care. That's the end of the life of this couple, as they've known it. Their retirement that they had hoped for is gone. If they had chosen another team that had a strong track record of helping patients achieve necessary functional gain, if they had chosen another team that had a strong track record of helping patients and families be able to manage disability at home, had they chosen a team that had resources like consultants who were available to help them when patients plateaued and give them other ideas about how to help extend that patient's Medicare stay in order to allow more recovery with the opportunity to prepare that patient for functioning at home and prepare the spouse to manage their care at home, the outcome could be completely different. What we have demonstrated here is that the nursing home quality indicators and quality measures, the single set of measures that are used for evaluating skilled nursing facilities, are completely inadequate for this purpose. So if you were to ask, this granddaughter, by the way, that I spoke about in my example with the 78-year-old grandfather recovering from CVA who was faced with this decision, after leaving the discharge planner's office, called me and presented her dilemma to me, and she said, I don't know what to do. And I suggested to her that she ask some questions. Consider the skilled nursing facilities on your list, and when you call them, ask the administrator, the director of nursing, the director of rehabilitation, the admissions director, ask them, how many patients like my grandfather have you treated in the last year? So she asked that question. Do you think she got an answer? What do you think? She got an answer. What was it? Lots. We treat patients like that all the time. My grandfather can't eat, can't use the toilet, can't move around in his bed without assistance. My grandmother can't take care of him. What has been your track record of helping patients like my grandfather improve in their functional independence? And your track record of helping family members like my grandmother learn how to manage disability at home? That's the question I gave her. Answer? We're great at that. We're the best in Valley, city, region, whatever it is. We're the best at that. We have great rehabilitation. Why can't skilled nursing facilities answer Very simple questions like, how many patients with stroke have you treated in the last year? What has been your track record at helping patients improve in functional independence? Why can't they answer these questions? Because no one asks for the information. The standard for nursing home quality is don't hurt the patients. That's what all the indicators are. All the indicators are about the extent to which patients decline as a result of being in that skilled nursing facility. They're important. It's important that the patients not decline, but it's not adequate. So what we're suggesting is that skilled nursing facilities that want to be serious about being a treatment alternative and providing post-acute rehabilitation for Medicare beneficiaries should be serious about collecting rehabilitation outcomes information. And CMS needs to recognize that funding needs to be available to and technical assistance needs to be available to assist skilled nursing facilities in this effort to collect and use these data to measure rehabilitation outcomes. I think consumers and referrers who are responsible for helping patients and families make this choice need to have access to evidence of the rehabilitation effectiveness of the rehabilitation programs, the skilled nursing facility-based programs that they're considering. And that further, having data like this would enable cross-level of care analyses of cost-effectiveness. Where are the cut points in cost-effectiveness between skilled nursing facilities and inpatient rehabilitation? Those questions now are not really possible. It's not possible to address those questions without these kinds of data in the skilled nursing facility arena. So thank you very much, and I hope you will join me in this effort to raise the bar of quality for skilled nursing facilities and give patients and families better tools that they can use to make this critically important decision. Thank you.